Tonight, breaking news here in New York City. The city's mayor speaking just moments ago. Will New York take action tonight against demonstrators who smashed their way into a building in Columbia? Are some of the protesters outside agitators? Also tonight, four officers, including a U.S. Marshal, shot and killed in the stunning video just released. And the new tornado threat tonight across multiple states. We'll go through it. First tonight, a major escalation in the protests at Columbia. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators smashing their way into a hall on campus, barricading themselves inside. Will New York City authorities take action? What we're learning right now. The four officers shot and killed, and the new images tonight of that Charlotte neighborhood and the terrifying scene. Officers firing from behind a vehicle, the suspect armed with an assault rifle, firing from multiple locations. The officers shot, including two 14-year veterans, two dads, one who had just been named Officer of the Month. Tonight, the judge fining Donald Trump for contempt of court, warning Trump he could be put in jail if he continues. Tonight, those new tornado watches across several states, severe storms, and they could hit some of the very same places hit with those deadly tornadoes already. Ginger Z is here. The images coming in, an SUV crashing through a store. At least one dead, more than a dozen customers and employees hurt. The race for the White House tonight, Donald Trump's new comments on abortion, saying some states might choose to monitor women's pregnancies to possibly prosecute women who violate abortion bans. Tonight, President Biden now responding. Breaking news tonight, just in, a commuter train has collided with a bus in Los Angeles. There are reports of dozens of injuries, what we're learning. Federal authorities and the new warning tonight, the nation horrified by that video, the homeowner with a gun, the Uber driver who was killed. Tonight, this warning about a growing number of scams targeting seniors, and we'll tell you how it works. The horrifying scene in Arizona, a two-year-old boy killed when a gust of wind carries away a bounce house. Tonight, women and breast cancer, and the major change this evening in federal guidelines for screenings. And the Hero Barbers, you will see the video tonight, what they saw outside their shop and why they dropped everything to save a child. America Strong.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the breaking news here in New York City. The city's mayor speaking just moments ago amid these growing pro-Palestinian protests across the country, a movement that started at Columbia University here in New York. Now, overnight, all of this escalating. Look at these images when a group smashed through windows and broke into the historic Hamilton Hall at Columbia, zip-tying the doors shut and occupying the building tonight. The mayor speaking moments ago saying there are outside agitators among the demonstrators, and NYPD officials saying just a short time ago that they are essentially ready to move in if asked. Let's get right to ABC's Stephanie Ramos. She's live at Columbia with late reporting for us. Stephanie?
David, the New York City mayor and NYPD officers holding that press conference just a few moments ago to discuss the situation here at Columbia University. The New York City mayor saying outside actors have co-opted the protest here on campus. The mayor also asking parents of students here to call them, tell their students to leave the campus immediately before the situation escalates.
This is the moment protesters smashed through the doors of a Columbia University building overnight, taking their demonstrations to a new level. Protesters zip-tying doors shut and barricading themselves inside, renaming the building with a new flag in honor of Hind Rajab, a six-year-old Palestinian girl killed in the war in Gaza.
The reclamation of the hall in the name of Palestine, in the name of Gaza, shows how committed students are to their solidarity with Gazans.
Tonight, Columbia University saying protesters have chosen to escalate to an untenable situation, vandalizing property, breaking doors and windows, and blockading entrances.
I feel like the leadership hasn't taken action. I think they've kind of let them get away with a lot of stuff, and it's about time we get some action.
The school warning of consequences, but for now, not calling in the NYPD. College demonstrations now reaching every corner of this country, calling for schools to divest from ties to Israel. After dozens of arrests at UNC, protesters taking down an American flag and replacing it with a Palestinian flag until school officials restored it. In California, police moving in to arrest 25 protesters at Cal Poly Humboldt on charges like vandalism and assault after students took over a campus building for a week. At Virginia Commonwealth University, police using pepper spray after the school said officers were targeted with objects and chemicals. Protesters seen flushing their eyes with water. With no end in sight to the showdown at Columbia, Jewish students who support the right to protest telling us they are worried.
Well, I think last night represented a major escalation because before that, at least the protests inside campus were mostly peaceful, and that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
Tonight, the governor of New York says protesters occupying this building have crossed a line.
These individuals are clearly breaking the law. There must be accountability, whether that's disciplinary action from the school or from law enforcement.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams saying the protests here at Columbia University should have remained peaceful. He is urging student demonstrators tonight to leave this area immediately. David.
Stephanie Ramos, who will continue to report on this into the night. Stephanie, thank you again this evening. We turn now to the new and terrifying images. After four officers, one of them a U.S. Marshal, were shot and killed, the deadliest day for American law enforcement in years. Officers serving a warrant at a home in Charlotte, North Carolina. This new video tonight shows that neighborhood what many say looked like a war zone. Officers taking shelter behind a vehicle, exchanging gunfire with a heavily armed suspect next door. Other officers approaching through neighboring yards. An armored vehicle driving on lawns, taking one of the wounded officers to try to get them help. Tonight, hear the faces of the fallen officers. Officers Sam Palocci and William Alden Elliott, 14-year veterans of the Department of Adult Corrections. Thomas Weeks, a U.S. Marshal who leaves behind a wife and four children. Joshua Iyer, an Army veteran and father of a three-year-old, just last week honored as Officer of the Month. Faith Abube is in Charlotte for us tonight.
Tonight, the dramatic new video showing the suburban Charlotte neighborhood turned into a war zone. A tense standoff with a convicted felon that left four officers, including a U.S. Marshal, dead and four others wounded. The officers seen taking cover behind vehicles as they exchanged a barrage of gunfire with the heavily armed suspect. Officials say around 1:30 Monday afternoon, members of a U.S. Marshal Fugitive Task Force went to arrest Terry Clark Hughes Jr. for felony possession of a firearm. Police say the suspect saw them coming and targeted them as they approached his house.
He was shooting from upstairs down at the officers, both front and back. Gunshots were coming from multiple locations within the house.
The suspect armed with an assault-style rifle, a handgun, and extra ammunition.
Tyler, get in here!
Get in the bathroom, Tyler!
Sang Chun lives next door and was just feet away.
And the bullets were flying.
Flying right here.
The violent shootout lasting 4 hours. The suspect shot dead on his front lawn. At an emotional press conference today, officials clearly grieving, remembering the officer's heroic acts in the line of duty.
It's just been very tough. And knowing that you have families that are hurting right now, we'll get through it though.
Investigators now identifying all four law enforcement officers who died in the violent attack. Officers Sam Palocci and William Alden Elliott, 14-year veterans of the Department of Adult Correction. Thomas Weeks, a U.S. Marshal who leaves behind a wife and four children. And Joshua Iyer, an Army veteran and father of a three-year-old, who just last week was honored as Officer of the Month.
And David, tonight only one of the four injured officers remains in the hospital. The police chief tells us he is stable. David.
We're thinking about all of those families tonight. Faith Abube, Faith, thank you. Donald Trump and the judge at Trump's criminal trial here in New York holding Trump in contempt of court and fining him and warning Trump that he could be put in jail if he continues. Here's Aaron Kuchersky.
Tonight, the judge in Donald Trump's criminal trial holding the former president in contempt of court for his relentless public attacks on witnesses and potential jurors. Judge Juan Merchan ruling Trump violated the gag order 9 times, slapping him with a $9,000 fine, the most allowable, and a warning. If Trump keeps it up, it may be necessary and appropriate to throw him in jail. The ruling coming on day 9 of the trial, Trump repeatedly complaining how cold it is in court.
I'm going to sit in a freezing cold icebox for 8 hours, 9 hours or so,
They took me off the campaign trail.
For the first time, a member of Trump's family accompanying him to court, his son Eric, who sat behind his father. Prosecutors today laying out the hush money payment at the heart of the case, showing the jury how Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen, arranged to pay porn star Stormy Daniels for her story of an alleged affair with Trump to keep it from voters before the 2016 election. Prosecutors called Daniels' former lawyer, Keith Davidson, who helped broker the deal. He testified Daniels' story had been floating around the internet for years, but Trump's team made no effort to buy it until the final weeks of the 2016 campaign, after the Access Hollywood tape became public. Trump heard boasting about groping women.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Before the Access Hollywood tape, Davidson testified there was very little, if any, interest. But after, that interest reached a crescendo. Davidson found himself negotiating directly with Michael Cohen. The two men struck a deal. Daniels would get $130,000 for her story. But Davidson testified it was my understanding that Mr. Trump was the beneficiary of this contract. But the payment kept getting delayed. Davidson said Cohen told him, "What do you expect me to do? My guy is in five states a day. I'm doing everything I can." Davidson was convinced, though, they were trying to kick the can down the road until after the election. Ultimately, Cohen told him, "God damn it, I'll just do it myself," and paid the porn star out of his own pocket. Prosecutors say when Trump later reimbursed Cohen, he illegally falsified documents to make it all look like a legal expense. Trump today almost egging on the judge who had held him in contempt, David, calling him rigged, crooked, and conflicted. But the judge made clear if these violations of the gag order continue, he's not above throwing Trump in jail. David?
Aaron Guterski again tonight. Thanks, Aaron. We're tracking severe weather, the storms across several states tonight, new tornado watches, damaging winds, hail, all possible, and this could target some of the very same areas hit with tornadoes over the weekend. Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z is tracking it all for us tonight. Ginger?
David, there are four states tonight with tornado watches, meaning the atmosphere is primed for rotation. So we'll go with those until 11 p.m. Missouri down to Kansas, we'll see it the latest. Wichita's included, by the way. And then tomorrow, it's all about the giant hail. Dodge City, Kansas, Woodward, Oklahoma, but from Kearney, Nebraska, down to Abilene, Texas, you'll have to look for damaging wind and an isolated tornado. Speaking of, we've had a lot of tornadoes this month. Second most on record for the month of April, David.
Ginger, we'll see you first thing in the morning on GMA. Thank you. Now to the race for the White House and Donald Trump's new comments on abortion, saying that some states might choose to monitor women's pregnancies to possibly prosecute women who violate abortion bans. Tonight, President Biden responding, and here's Mary Bruce.
Tonight, Donald Trump says he won't stand in the way if states want to monitor pregnant women to make sure they comply with abortion bans. And he won't step in to prevent states from prosecuting women who violate those bans by ending their pregnancies. In an interview with Time magazine, Trump was asked, "Do you think states should monitor women's pregnancies so they can know if they've gotten an abortion after the ban?" Trump saying, "I think they might do that. Again, you'll have to speak to the individual states." Trump then asked if he'd be comfortable if states prosecute women who get abortions. His response, "It's irrelevant whether I'm comfortable or not. It's totally irrelevant because the states are going to make those decisions." Perhaps in the 2016 campaign, Trump said women who have abortions should be punished.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
He quickly backtracked. As president, he appointed three of the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, something he continues to brag about.
We broke Roe v. Wade, and we did something that nobody thought was possible. We gave it back to the states, and the states are working very brilliantly.
President Biden calling Trump's comments today reprehensible, saying Donald Trump doesn't trust women. I do. Both Biden and Trump well aware that abortion could be on the ballot in 13 states this November, including critical battlegrounds like Pennsylvania, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida. And that every time abortion has been on the ballot since Roe was overturned, even in red states, abortion rights have won.
The Biden team is trying to seize on this issue, with the vice president taking on a stepped up role. She will be down in Florida tomorrow as the state's 6-week abortion ban goes into effect. Now, Trump has said that ban is too severe, but he still won't say how he will vote on the issue when it's on the ballot in November. David.
Mary Bruce live at the White House for us. Mary, thank you. We are learning more tonight after some terrifying moments, an SUV crashing into a thrift store in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Authorities say the SUV crashed right through the glass doors, killing one person and injuring more than a dozen others, including customers and employees. Police say the 69-year-old driver was pulling into a parking space when she mistakenly pressed on the accelerator instead of the brake. There is a new warning from federal authorities about scams targeting seniors across this country. It comes after the nation was horrified by the images of that homeowner with a gun and that unsuspecting 61-year-old Uber driver who was killed. Tonight, hear the scam warning and how it works. Here's Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, that harrowing video seen by the nation. The senior with the gun charged with murdering the unsuspecting Uber driver. The result of what authorities say is an explosion of scams targeting senior citizens, this one with deadly consequences. Now the FBI warning just how pervasive scams against senior citizens have become. Victims losing $3.4 billion in 2023, up from $3.1 billion in 2022. And just today, the DOJ charging 16 suspects in the Dominican Republic and the U.S. with a so-called grandparent scam, stealing millions of dollars in a multinational scheme. Here's how it worked. The scammer would call the senior citizen claiming thousands of dollars were needed for a loved one who had been in a car accident involving a pregnant woman. The elderly person would panic, agreeing to pay the money. A courier would then show up at the person's home and collect the money, or the victim was instructed to mail the cash.
They're susceptible. They're not as familiar with technology as younger people, and therefore they're most likely to be impacted by this type of fraud.
Tonight, the FBI is encouraging financial institutions to do more to protect senior citizens if they notice their accounts being drained, David.
Pierre Thomas, I know you'll stay on this for us. Pierre, thank you. Tonight, an historic shift for the Justice Department, moving to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. The DEA is proposing to allow the medical use of cannabis, acknowledging it does less harm than other drugs like heroin and ecstasy. But the proposal would still not legalize it for recreational use, although many states have already done so. The federal regulatory review will likely take months. When we come back on this very busy news night, we do have breaking news. A commuter train, we have just learned, colliding with a bus in Los Angeles. The images, reports of dozens of injuries. Also, major changes tonight to the guidelines for breast cancer screenings in a moment. There is late word coming in tonight of dozens of people injured after a commuter train collided with a bus in Los Angeles. Authorities say a USC shuttle bus crossed in front of the train, at least 55 people hurt. Two victims tonight in serious condition. Everyone, though, is expected to survive. To the index, a tragic accident involving a bounce house in Casa Grande, Arizona. A two-year-old child was killed, another child hurt when the bounce house was carried away by wind, landing in a neighboring lot. Thousands of children are injured in bounce house accidents every year. The new federal guidelines tonight for screening for breast cancer, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force now suggesting that women at average risk for breast cancer should start getting mammograms now at 40, suggesting they be screened every other year. Finally tonight, the Hero Barbers, America Strong. Tonight in East Hartford, Connecticut, a community grateful for two quick-thinking barbers who police are calling heroes tonight. Barbers Osvaldo Lugo and Rafael Santana inside the Look Sharp Barbershop when Rafael saw something flash by outside. A little girl by herself running toward a busy intersection on Main Street. Look right there in the left window. There she is, running by. The two barbers dropped everything, left their customers in their chairs, running out the shop's front door, racing after her. Osvaldo reaching the little girl, picking her up just seconds before she reached the intersection. Authorities tonight say he saved her. The two barbers finding her mother nearby, that mother grateful, saying she had just turned around for moments. Tonight, the East Hartford Police Department saying thanks to them, a potential tragedy was averted and a family remains whole. We're incredibly grateful for these everyday heroes among us. And right here tonight, one of those heroes.
Hello, David. Welcome to Look Sharp Barbershop.
The barber who reached her just in time.
I just had to do something. I took off running.
Osvaldo and his message.
I'm glad, honored, and humbled that I was able to make a difference, serve my community, and reunite her with her mom.
The Look Sharp Barbershop, they're heroes. Good night.